This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. Want to remind you again, you can always listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But Odyssey Sports is giving away a chance for a listener to win an epic trip. It's a flyaway to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 spending cash for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. All you got to do is just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 92.9 FM. And if you listen for a minimum of 1 hour, you will be entered every single day. So also, for every hour you listen, you will get an entry per day. So all you got to do is download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, special company, founder and frontman, of course, of Ingram Hill. Best-selling University of Memphis alum of all time.
Of all time.
He's big in Brazil. The website's jrmooremusic.com. Follow him on Twitter, on X, all socials, at jrmooremusic. Justin, good day, sir.
What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
It feels like Jason Isbell might have a beef with that.
I spent way more time researching this. First off, I was offended for you.
Yeah.
You are not listed on the University of Memphis in terms of like notable alums for arts.
I'm a little offended by that too.
So not even listed.
I wonder if it's because I was only in the arts program for a semester.
I'm saying it was like the notable alumni page, it's broken up by like,
oh, got it.
Like politicians,
sure.
Business, arts and entertainment.
So, got it.
And also, he doesn't have a real degree.
That's true.
They literally made his up.
There we go.
And then I also looked up, best I could tell, because I was also doing the math of your band's peak, we still bought music.
Yep, true.
And so I still think if I can spin, number one, the motto of the show is don't tell these stories, tell your story.
100%.
I'll find a condition.
I am 100%
like,
for
if
this.
If I have to just go best-selling U of M grad of all time, it's like asterisk footnote is of 2004.
I am for this.
That's fine.
Yep.
Like I'll craft it how I want. But like total, and obviously Isbell was different than Drive By Truckers. But
yes.
I don't think Drive By Truckers were a massive selling.
They
band.
Were not
very popular.
Yes.
Like they had a cult following.
Yes.
That wasn't a band that was churning out music. And for the record, none of his music's been in 13 going on 30.
That's exactly right.
Or there's any other trailers.
I don't think there's a single Jennifer Garner movie with one of
his
songs on it.
Yeah, so take that.
Take that. I win.
I did also, but I was also because I was trying to find out how many records Ingram Hill had sold. So I was not just doing all your other stuff. What happened to, there used to be like a database, I don't know, 2010s.
Yeah.
Where you could just go in, type in the band name, and they would show you their albums and then the sales.
Sure.
Is now all that information like proprietary? Does the database not exist?
I mean, all that stuff is just in the wind because the numbers don't mean the same thing anymore. So, you know, obviously we SoundScan used to what is what counted everybody's record sales.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure SoundScan is even a thing anymore. What
as of the research this morning, no, it was not.
Like when to say you have a platinum record, that is I don't know what a platinum record means. It used to mean you sold a million copies, but now it's with streams. It's like, well, I don't know what.
Well, that was how I got your big in Brazil.
Yeah.
Do you know the Ingram Hill's number two country?
No.
Brazil.
It's Brazil. I thought it might have been Australia.
So it was like the streaming. Well, how first I was like, is Justin teaching people English?
Like, is it, you know, it in
like,
Brazil.
Like, I
maybe
always
so.
Like, Mila Kunis immigrated. Her parents were from Russia.
Right.
She learned English by watching The Price is Right.
There we go.
Are you teaching Brazilians very specific, heartfelt songs in English?
From now on, I am claiming that. Even if I'm not, I'm going to say, again, telling my story.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to put that on the resume is that I'm teaching Brazilians English.
Those were the fun facts that I learned this morning. I was like, Brazil?
I love that.
Because that was the one that was tracking your... I guess Spotify.
Yeah, the streams.
Place. Yep. Yes.
Yep.
But it didn't seem like it seemed like it was just tracking Spotify. It wasn't tracking like Apple or is there another one now?
I mean, there's Tidal.
Does you Pandora still exist?
Pandora still exists. Yes, I still get it on my royalty statement. I still get Pandora stuff.
Yeah, so that one was specifically tracking Pandora.
There's actually a jillion of them now.
Well, that makes sense.
The amount of licensing things I have to sign to for Peloton has, you know, they have to license your music to get it on their platform. TikTok. Some companies that I have never heard of and I may never hear of again outside of this licensing agreement.
Well,
they have to have all these
that
things.
Actually kind of makes sense to me because now it feels like the playbook in tech is you start some app that has some technology that the bigger people are going to buy.
That's correct.
Like you're not trying to build the company.
No.
You're trying to market. You're trying to market whatever your innovation is and get bought.
Yes, that is correct.
So that would make sense to me. All right, it's Wednesday, so we'll play Buy, Sell Short or go to Reddit. We'll start with some Grizzlies. Also, we'll get into the list. Lots to get to from the world of sports. But let's fire up some Buy, Sell Short or go to Reddit. Also, fingers crossed, CJ Hurt joining us at 3:30. All right, Justin, I do this because you're a Dolphins fan.
Yep. Maybe the only one I know.
So I have felt bad because it's nothing specifically against the Dolphins. It was a connection that I made. So I've also been kind of using Chip Kelly's offense from the Oregon, the blur offense.
Yep.
But because you're a Dolphins fan and because you're a Grizzlies fan, my comp of the Grizzlies to the Dolphins, equating them, the Grizzlies are to the NBA what the Dolphins are to the NFL is fair.
I'm buying that. It is the frustrating thing of being a Dolphins fan in that everybody, all my friends, when they start out and they've won a bunch of games, they're always like, dude, are you excited about the Dolphins? I'm like, pump the brakes.
Been here before.
I've seen this show many, many, many times. And it's always when it gets to the end of November or the middle of November, it starts getting cold, they have to start traveling to New York and to Buffalo and New England where they suddenly don't look very tough anymore.
Yeah.
And it's because everybody comes to Miami, it's hot early on, they can run all over the place, but when it comes down to like, when you guys start hitting each other and tackling each other, and like, the whole, the game slows down, they can't do it, and they just, it makes, and then the narrative comes up, are the Dolphins a fraud? And in reality, they kind of are. They're like, they're just stuck in this land of like, they're a good team, but they're non-threatening to win a title. And so far, we've seen with the Grizzlies is that they are a really good team. But when it comes down to like when you really start getting down the nuts and bolts, when they have to be tough, when they have to be physical, when they have to do something that resembles playoff style basketball, they get beat. And then the narrative pops up. Are they kind of a fraudulent good? And I don't think they're a fraudulent good. I think they're legitimately good. But are they like good because it makes the regular season fun because we get to see them win a bunch of games? Or are they good like they have a chance? They have a, whether it be a puncher's chance or not,
right.
Do they have an actual chance to do anything in the playoffs?
And so I keep thinking also, though, remember was the 2015 Cardinals the one that won 100 games?
Was it 15?
I think it's 2015, and then I think the Cubs beat us in the NLCS.
I think so.
Or NLDS. NLDS.
Yeah, they were really good. Right. Had a great record and then got bumped out early.
I don't know how you felt about that team. I actually really liked that team night after night, because that was kind of a fun team in the sense that, like, no matter if they got behind, like, they were always kind of in it.
Yes.
And they, like, that was a team I felt like that maximized all their potential.
Yes. It created for a really fun season of watching baseball.
But I also knew we had no frontline starter.
Yep.
And I was like, this is a team that was kind of built to win in the regular season.
Yep.
That's kind of the question that I have with the Grizzlies. But I think what makes it a more complicated question is, well, it depends.
Sure.
So if they're playing a physical, and I think when we say physical, we need to probably be a little bit more specific. I think it's perimeter physicality.
Yes. I mean, yes, but like all it makes me think of is like when they played the Lakers in the playoffs and got the crap beat out of them, because the Lakers were like grown men
they had no answer for Anthony Davis.
No.
And that was also like, that was the year where we did the math of like, when Anthony Davis is motivated and healthy, it's like there's only one person better than him on the planet.
True.
And then that was Jokic. But
that's true.
He was dominating. But yeah, I mean, like, in the end, I guess that's kind of the bigger question, though. Is it a physicality problem, or is it, because I think about this in terms of, you know, the offense is all the discussion right now. The new offense, whatnot. My biggest problem is, okay, this was a solution to the question of what are we going to do about half-court offense?
Yeah.
And I guess I'll ask your basketball expertise. Do you believe that there's a scheme answer to half-court offense?
Yes.
Okay. Late game playoffs?
I think so, yes. Yes, and the only reason I say that is because I look at all those Spurs teams that won so many titles with Popovich and Duncan and Ginobili, all those guys, that it looked boring because they didn't have some crazy star or, you know, superstar flying through the air.
And that's always the misnomer, too.
It looked boring to everybody, but if you knew basketball, it was beautiful.
The way they moved it.
Oh, they ran plays, and they would draw up plays on these sideline out-of-bounds plays that you're like, and end up with a wide-open shot, and you think, they're playing against professional basketball players. How do they end up with such open shots? You can schematically make this happen. Now, whether you have the personnel for it is one thing. Whether you think that it best suits your personnel to try to lock this into a scheme to make this happen in late game situations in playoff basketball. Whether you think running a certain style offense is best suited for your players, or if it's just better to give the ball to Ja and run a ball screen and let them play a two-man game.
I guess the problem, though, is
I don't know the answer to that.
So, my understanding is, the theory was, if the NBA is going to where basically all you have to do is get the post-game stat sheet and see who made more threes.
Yeah.
If that's where it's going, because the Grizzlies are not particularly athletic,
right,
in the grand scheme of the
sure.
NBA, and because they don't have a bunch of like dead-eye shooters,
right.
You push the pace, and that's your way to... You push the pace, you're out to run. That's how you get the easier threes.
Yeah.
And so, it's a lot... For the pros, have you ever seen like an NBA, even like a what you would consider a mid-tier NBA guy in shoot-around? They don't miss.
They don't miss.
And so, the idea would be, if you can get them those shots, that's how you make up the difference.
Yep.
I think the bigger question for me is that in the best interest... Like, you can tell me... That's in the best interest of the collective.
Yeah.
But I also would push back and go, all right, if the whole point of this is Ja, Dez, and Jaren.
Right.
I think it clearly works for Jaren.
Yes.
Because to your point of two-man game, pick and roll, we have enough evidence that that's not utilizing Jaren to his best.
Nope.
But now in this isolated, he gets to be kind of one-on-one. Like you see, it's like, oh, yeah, he's having the best offensive year.
Yes.
I think it's clearly not best for Ja.
Nope, it is not.
And I think it's unclear with Dez, because I'm still not convinced. Like, A, when people want to compare his scoring to last year, that's not a fair comp. Who else was going to shoot?
No,
like,
no,
there was no one to shoot. Like,
I think the numbers from last year, for the most part, you have to just throw out the window.
Yes, 100%. Like, I just dismiss it.
Yeah.
So, with Dez, I'm also not as clear of how much of the slow start was the oblique and what, like, recently he started to look more like Dez.
Yes.
And so I guess it's net neutral for Dez.
Right.
But you also have to have the other side of this equation. If Jaren's not getting his offensively, you don't really have to worry about mopey Jaren.
That's correct. That's
there is one player that you do have to worry about mopiness.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
And so
this ties into what people. This is part of the ties into the when they play physical teams, and yep. We say about the front is that Ja whines to the refs as much as anybody about getting hit, and maybe he gets hit a lot. But he every time he goes to the rim,
I think everybody that goes in the lane gets hit every time.
Yes, he openly complains to the refs and then sags his shoulders and won't run back down the floor. And he eventually gets back down there. But he complains. And so when you play against guys who you're getting who are also physical guards who don't do that, who are also good, like your Jalen Brunsons or those type guards that are don't mind getting mixing it up and they don't complain after every call or fall down.
Yeah.
Then that's when it makes it look worse about that. So I say that to then say, when you have better players than other players, an equal opportunity offense may not be the best thing.
Right. To me, like, it's what you do to make up for a talent deficiency.
Right.
Now, I guess, like, that's kind of the bigger question that I have. Is this,
we don't have a talent deficiency.
Is this, like, an implicit saying? Now, like, I guess it's also, I think you can make the argument, it's part of the reason why Jalen Wells has had a good start.
Yes.
And he's been much better than
he's
expected.
Been great.
I think this works much better for Santi,
because
I think it's much more natural.
Yeah, for all of your bit players, it works great for.
Correct.
Because they're getting open
Laravia,
looks.
It's working.
They're getting open looks, and they feel involved. They're not just standing in the corner, and that is 100%. And I think for the development of those players to where you want to feel confident and count on them, this is great for them. But I don't know how many championship NBA teams your focus is on the bit players versus what are your stars doing?
I mean, I'm trying to think of, I guess you could make the argument what the 04 Pistons, which didn't have. Like,
yeah, that's 21 years ago. And then that's the one that everybody points to has been like, there were no stars except Rip Hamilton was freaking awesome.
Well, and like, it's like, yes, they didn't have a perennial superstar.
But get Rip Hamilton within 15 feet of the basket and say, stop his shot.
But they also had like 8 guys that were like top 100 in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was no one worse than like a B.
No.
Every other player was like B plus or better.
They were freaking awesome.
And so, I mean, I guess you could make the argument the Celtics last year, but that's a different thing because they're so talented.
Yeah, I don't think you can make that argument. Just because Jason Tatum is not Jason Tatum should be a superstar. There's just something missing that I can't put my finger on of what makes him not like this super celebrity superstar, but he's good enough to be, and his numbers show it, and he's won a title. Like, what, I don't know what it is. So you can't say the Celtics are like a collection of good, of like B plus players. That's like a bunch of A players with a couple B pluses.
Well, I was saying in the sense of, their offensive structure wasn't built around one
player. Just give
player.
It to ISO a guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, in the end, their deal is basically, okay, even if Tatum's not the best player in the series,
right,
he's probably going to be the second.
Sure.
And then their next 6 guys were better than anything you.
That's as true. Well, okay, so this, we're having a great a conversation that is concerning, and I think everybody has recognized it's partly concerning. And right now, the biggest talk nationally is about adding another mopey guy to the Grizzlies team. And I could not want them to do this less.
Okay, so I've kind of talked myself into it.
You have? Okay.
Right, here's how.
Please help me out because I cannot.
Part of my talking myself into it
is something that you can't guarantee happening.
Probably. I can't really guarantee anything happening.
That's true.
But I need him to be more and more embarrassed.
Oh, okay.
And so
I haven't heard this take. I'm ready.
I need it to be the Moneyball scene where Brad Pitt goes into Royce Clayton, I think, who was playing David Justice.
Yeah.
and says, the Yankees thought so much of you that they're paying $5 million for you to play for us.
Yeah.
I need it to be where, like, he has no option other than this option. So that kind of, that sends you here with a little different mindset. I also would prefer that there be, maybe in writing, maybe a handshake, I don't know. This is a rental.
Sure, yeah.
This is, we wish you well in free agency.
Yep.
DeMichael kind of talked me into, you could maybe make it work in the event that he did opt in. You can maybe make it work because even if Jaren gets third team All-NBA and,
sure,
and the Grizzlies can actually offer him an extension he would accept,
right,
he would still play next year under this year's contract.
I mean, it's a player option, right?
Correct.
So he could opt in whether you like it or not, right?
Correct.
So why would you not, if you, nothing as rational is happening right now. Him allowing himself to be suspended and just costing himself money over and over again with the Heat is irrational to just about every other person in the world except him. And so that's crazy. Nobody would why would you do that? Number two, his reputation is getting pummeled by being this way. He clearly does not care. Irrational behavior. So even if he is presented with nobody else wants you but Memphis, why would you think he's going to be, okay, well, I guess I'll be rational and go play hard and not opt in to a guaranteed $52 million and still just mess around, shoot one leg of three-pointers for Memphis and then have them, you know, sit me on the bench and trade me, demand a trade then?
I think this team needs a dog.
When he is on,
he's a dog.
He is a dog, and I could not agree with you more. He is,
and I don't know, like, I think Marcus could be that, but
he never plays.
We're going on 2 years, and what have we got? 25
right.
games.
He never plays. You're right. This team needs a dog, and I mean, to correlate to the Tigers, I complain about the Tigers not taking wild chances to like improve their situation, a la the Pac-12, Pac whatever.
I still don't think that's done.
That's true. So but
I think
the Grizzlies.
I think you'll understand this. I think it's an ongoing negotiation.
I think you're probably right. We always say the Grizzlies should go all in, and technically speaking, this would be a go all in move that is super risky. But boy, does it make me think like Chandler Parsons, where he didn't want to be here and he shouldn't have been here because he shouldn't have been cleared by the medicals, and we did it anyway, and it backfired like crazy. And it feels like this guy has openly stated, "I will go to 28 other cities." Except for one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I do not trust him to come here and play hard.
But like, I actually think, like, for guys that have the ego that he does, I do think like embarrassment works on them.
You would think so.
And I don't think, like, as bad as this is right now, I don't think this is really embarrassing him because he views this as business decision. And so this is just like an uncomfortable negotiation.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're right.
The other big one for me is, I personally think the reason why their half-court offense has failed in the playoffs is, in the end, they can't shoot. There's one guy that can shoot.
Yep.
And honestly, sometimes in the playoffs, teams play hilarious defenses against them.
Yes.
They are basically playing a high school box and one.
Yeah, playing a box
There's
and one.
One guy that's like,
yeah,
do not let Dez get open.
That's right.
And then everybody else is just kind of stacked around the paint.
That's right. That's right.
And in the end, while Jimmy Butler is not like a regular season sharpshooter,
but
like, guy does kind of have like a pretty good playoff resume.
Playoff Jimmy is something different. I have often, like in previous years, complained about like, now all this complaining about like, or talking about of is the equal opportunity offense good and will it work in the playoffs? For years, when it came down to end game, last 2.5 minutes of the game, they would just go ISO, screen and roll with Ja, and you get what you get, and everybody else stands around the corner. And I'd be like, they have been moving the ball for the entire game, and now we're just going to slog it into this. And you're just hoping Ja gets a call because he's gonna fall down.
You're hoping that either he gets a call or that he just has a miraculous finish.
Yes, because he's gonna fall down.
And it's gonna be a high level of difficulty.
100% high level difficulty. And to his credit, he converts.
He does make a lot of them.
He converts a lot of those.
Correct.
But like, also, it's not necessarily a high percentage shot. It's just close. He just converts it, and so. Can the offense look better by moving it around? And then can Jimmy Butler is a guy who can just get you a bucket? And if he's that, does that then, if he's a rental and you're going to count on him a late game situation to get you a bucket, does that further alienate your star who you sign long term and make him mopier? Or does winning help?
I think you sell it to him as, listen, man, this is what we've been trying to get you.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and he makes them better defensively on the perimeter.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, if you do this, it seems almost certainly that you're going to lose Brandon Clark. And the question then becomes, okay, so you're going into the playoffs with essentially two bigs.
Yep.
Jaren and Edie, one is a rookie.
There's three or four players we're sending out with it.
I was using the template that Bobby Marks had, which was Clark, Smart, go to Miami, Conchar.
Yep.
Clark, Smart, Conchar, go to Miami. Luke would go to Toronto.
Okay.
Because they have to bring in a third team to make it work.
Right.
And then the Grizzlies just get Jimmy Butler.
I mean, there's only two bigs that you can play.
To your point,
they have to bring in another guy. I guess they have Jay Huff.
So I mean, I think obviously your Huff becomes your third big.
Yeah.
I don't know if they go on.
But your roster, the number of bodies.
DeMichael was asking yesterday, do you call Bismack and say, hey, how you doing, buddy?
I mean, you got to call somebody.
I mean, at some point, I mean, I guess you do the buyout market. Maybe is what you'd be shopping in. I mean, you're shopping in the bargain.
You're shopping in the bargain bin. Like, where's Hamed Haddadi? Call Mark Gasol and get him out of retirement.
By the way, Mark was 40 today.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's his birthday. Happy birthday.
Golly. How is Mark Gasol 40 years old?
Yeah. That's
all right, so don't call Mark.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Actually, I'd be fine calling Mark.
He'd actually be great.
Yeah, I'm a vibes guy. I'm vibes guy.
Yeah, he would actually be great for vibes.
Yeah. And just have him like...
an adult up in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it was the right move. I think this team still misses Jay Crowder.
Yeah. Yeah.
They miss the guy that they're all kind of scared of.
They miss, yes, 100%.
And like, I thought Smart could be that guy, but you can't be that guy when you're not playing.
That's exactly right.
And so, like, there's kind of part of this. Again, I am with you. If I make that deal, I'm not doing the fake physical to just get him in.
Right.
I am doing the physical where it's like, I need to know.
Yeah.
Like, if this deal falls through, so be it.
So be it. Yep.
I am doing that. Yep. I'm doing a real legitimate physical.
Yeah, please learn your lesson. The franchise has to learn their lesson.
With maybe multiple opinions.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking multiple opinions when you want a doctor just to tell you what you want to hear.
That's exactly right. I need a real look over on
this. When you had your ACL surgery, you're not going to find the one doctor. I always think about my brother. They went to a guy in North Carolina one summer when he tore his elbow for Tommy John. And that doctor right off the bat's like, it needs surgery. It's torn.
Yeah.
And then like they just went around looking for doctors, be like, nah, we can rehab it. You'll never guess what happened.
He had surgery.
It needed surgery. And then he probably needed it again.
Yeah.
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 There you go. It's like, it's not that kind of seeking out those opinions.
No, no.
But like, I think they kind of need somebody, like, in the end, who is the late second shot clock guy that you're cool with? Beyond, I guess, Dez.
Yeah, that's
because now the other thing about this, I guess what drives me insane about it is it seems to me like this should be part of your offense.
Not the offense.
Correct.
Yes.
Like, to borrow a term from football, like, be more multiple.
Yep, absolutely.
And what bothers me is I don't understand how guys are supposed to get open.
Either.
Unless they can just physically, like, it makes sense why Jaren gets open.
Yes.
There's not many guys physically that match up with
him. That's
right. But, like, that's kind of the issue that I have. And it's like, I also get why Ja's probably a little upset, because now what it invites is, all right, if they're not going to have a ball screen and whatnot, like, we're just going to pack the paint and say, have at it, buddy.
Have at it. Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, I guess the principles of this are so unusual for these guys at this point that if you can't, it has to be your offense in order for you to be comfortable with it.
I think it is. I will say this. I think it is a lot like the air raid in the sense that it gives you a lot of freedom of movement.
Yep.
And if you have guys that are very much in sync, it's unpredictable in the sense that, okay, the air raid's plays are more like guidelines.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of sight adjustments and, like, you know, in a certain look you would run. Like, all, you call it one play. All right, if it's cover two, I'm running a post corner.
Right.
But if it's cover three, I'm running the post. And then, you know, my inside receivers, they're either running choice routes where they can go out or in or stop, or they can, you know, or you can cross with the other guy. So it's one of those ones where it's tough to defend. And even, God, I can't believe I'm quoting him in a positive. But even Draymond has said it is a, it's not something
defending
you see.
It is,
it's
weird.
Difficult to defend.
Yep.
I think the problem, though, is it's also why they're turning it over at this alarming rate.
100%.
Like, I was also wondering this. Is there kind of like a Thanos, all things must be balanced? Like, on Sunday, the Tigers take care of the basketball to the point in which you're like, you didn't even like, in the end, I think they finished with 13 turnovers. But it was you never even thought about
no,
it.
No, you didn't feel those.
And then it's like you turn around Monday night, and a team in the Knicks that doesn't even force turnovers has just completely turned you into a high school team trying to play an NBA team.
It does feel like that. It does.
Like, it was honestly, watching that game, I really wanted it to be like, I just hope this was a classic. They just went out in New York. That would have made me feel a lot
absolutely
better. Like, all right, we can, I know that will rub people the wrong way. Like, I want my guys to not party. It's like, okay, well, I live in reality.
If in the regular season they just crapped the bed when they went to New York, Miami, and Los Angeles, I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah, like, I get it. Well, like, at least it makes sense to me. Yeah. The worst thing you could tell me is, no, they were playing hard.
Yeah, no, that would be bad.
I mean, I guess you could say it was their third game in 4 days, and they had to fly and whatnot, but it's like, man, that's not getting beat by 40.
I hope it's the old Hubie Brown mantra of there's five games a year each way. Five games.
You're going to win five no matter what.
No matter what, you lose
five.
No matter what, doesn't matter what you do, the ball's not going in, and you're gonna dribble the ball off your foot seven times.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's what that is. I don't know. You know what? I also think this new offense thing, I'm sure I'm not the first person to think of this. Do you think they felt pressure and installed to put this in, assuming Ja is going to miss a bunch of games? And if you resolve...
I don't think they'd ever admit it.
Yeah,
but I would never admit that. I think you'd be stupid to not at least consider it.
When you've created your offense around a ball screen and pick and roll, assuming Ja's going to be there and this is unstoppable, and then suddenly Ja misses a bunch and a bunch and a bunch, you're like, oh, crap. How do we play back? What is our identity now as a team offensively if the guy we've built our offense around is gone? And it turns out he's gone often. And so do you think they put this in and they market it as it's equal opportunity basketball, when really this is just a way that we can set ourselves up to score when he's missing?
So I actually think it's in the same vein, but what I think it was rather than saying this is designed for assuming he's going to miss games, I think part of the idea was this would help him not miss games.
Oh, right. Well, take the load off his shoulders.
Correct. Yeah. And it's not as much. He's playing off the ball a little bit more. He is not. It's not like he's going into the paint every possession.
Right.
And so I think there was some maintenance that went into it.
That makes sense.
Guess what still happened?
He still got hurt. Still went in the paint. And he doesn't shoot
like,
as well.
And like, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, he's like not dunking. And it's like, I did think like he was going to hashtag like make layups cool again.
Yeah.
Like, now, granted, his layups are different than
anyone
else.
His layups are cool.
Yes, and so like it's not really fair.
No,
like he,
no.
I don't. Like,
he does like he looks makes layups look awesome.
Correct, because it just floats.
Yeah, it really does.
It's like he doesn't jump.
No,
like, he explosively floats.
It's incredible.
But I like, to me, it's kind of the other issue, which is, are you better off? Like, honestly, like, I wonder, like, do you have to, like, kind of keep, like, his mentals as part of this?
100%. I mean, part of being an NBA head coach is managing massive egos.
That's why I also don't think that this was a Taylor Jenkins thing.
Yeah.
You're telling me the football coach that's trapped in a basketball coach's body really wanted to go to this? Oh, by the way, after they dismissed every one of his assistants?
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right.
And that is my actual fear with it. It's less what we're doing on a grease board.
Right.
Because more times than not, what's drawn up on a grease board doesn't get executed anyway.
No.
It takes one defender stopping the ball, and then all of a sudden, here we go.
Right.
But my fear is this reeks of we're smarter than everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that. Yes. They have, and they kind of have that.
And it, to a certain degree, like, I think you can make the argument, they have some type of advantage in scouting.
They have done, I mean, yes. They've certainly hit well on...
They have a very high batting average, especially they have a very high batting average in late rounds and actually get... It's not just like, oh, this guy stayed in the league. It's like, no, they got a starter in the second round.
Yeah, they you no, almost kind of trust them at this point a little bit. And you're almost like surprised when they just... If it's a complete whiff.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's think of the... From this one, like, Zaire... Is a whiff.
That's a, that was a big whiff.
I also think, though, that was... I'm willing to chalk that up to COVID draft.
Sure.
Like, okay. That draft, like, when you look at it, it's the same thing kind of in the NFL. Because teams couldn't really meet in person.
Yeah.
There was not as much scouting. The season was weird. They're playing in empty gyms. I don't think they got... I think it was more of the data input was incorrect, and I don't really fault them for that.
Sure. I think they saw potential and length and this whole thing are like, we can coach that up.
I also, like, if I think back to that draft, they kind of had some room to take a 3-0. Like, it was 3-0 and they didn't have to take sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, beyond that, I mean, the Justice Winslow thing was a deal and a whiff.
That was a whiff.
I mean, Marcus Smart's trending towards a whiff.
I don't think that's their fault.
I would agree. I guess the argument could also be made, and against the Jimmy Butler thing, it's like maybe you don't want them making trades. It feels like their big swings and misses, yeah. Their big swing and misses are from trades rather than the draft.
Yes, where they excel is their scouting and drafting. It's not. It feels like, and I do feel like anytime you're in a trade with Pat Riley. If he's willing to do the deal, then...
It's usually not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. He probably got over on you. Same with, like, Danny Ainge. I feel like the same way with Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I used to always say, if Danny Ainge is calling, don't answer.
Yeah, don't answer. That means if he's saying yes, you need to, like, hold on, nobody signed anything yet.
Or call whoever he called before you.
That's exactly right.
And do background checks.
Yeah.
Like, what happened here?
When Justice Winslow happened, I thought everybody was pretty happy about that.
I mean, I think everybody... Like, Justice is kind of in the same category. Like, part of the problem with Justice is, A, he couldn't shoot, but B, he had a bad back.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's a physical thing.
The physical thing.
But, did Miami know that?
Probably.
I mean, there's also this for me. I'm putting the Butler one in a little different category because the impetus is he wants a new deal.
Yes.
And so, therefore, he's starting this. But more times than not, when guys get traded, they get traded for a reason.
Yes. I mean, I would say it's clear as day his reason is that he is sabotaging himself there. Different,
but, like, I kind of think, like, maybe Boston offered up Marcus. Like, I just feel like there should be a little, wait a minute here. Like, there's kind of the Cartman, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what I would do.
Right. Like, I mean, there was a reason that, like, when the Rudy Gay deal, we were offering up Rudy Gay.
Well, that was also Heisley was cheap.
I mean, yes.
And he wasn't going to pay.
He'd already paid him. He already got a deal.
I think they were going to have to go into the tax. I think that was the other thing. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, or I should say before we take a quick break, I want to remind you that Zen Sports has just issued their VIP Players Club sweepstake. You can still enter for the month of January, and the prizes are raised to a whole new level. One grand prize winner will win a $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL big game, and in addition, $10,000 cash, or the alternative prize of $15,000 cash. You have the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in January and every dollar you wager. Plus, you can earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. It doesn't get much better than this. If you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll also have a shot to win one of five smaller prizes, which grant you either a $1,000 bonus bet on the big game or $250 cash. Also, for all customers who sign up with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you will receive 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries earned from the value of the qualifying bet. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you can also earn a $100 no-danger first wager. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Terms and conditions do apply. We come back. Let's talk a little NFL, a little Super Bowl with Justin. We'll do that. Also, the list and CJ Hurt coming up during hour number two. Stick around, Justin. Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shop now through Valentine's Day over at our good friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers and get a fresh dozen red roses and a box of chocolates free with a purchase of $99 or more. You can pick them up with your voucher between February 11th and 14th while supplies last. That's how you know you'll be getting the freshest flowers. You can also check out the Above Love Star Diamond Engagement Ring. It's an extraordinary diamond featuring 100 facets and a hidden star in the center for an unmatched sparkle. Each Above Love Star diamond comes with a diamond viewing scope to see the star for yourself. Those start at just $29.99. Also, the Diamond Essentials collection is very popular. Love's Cross diamond pendant necklaces, as well as the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. One of the hottest gifts right now. Those start for $7.99. Again, on those, limited supply while supplies last. So shop early if you want to get the best selection. Again, free with every purchase of $99 or more. You get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates. They also have great financing options like 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. All at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations. Or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Okay, so I was thinking about this with the Super Bowl because... And maybe this is, my college roommate and his best friends are diehard Niners fans.
Okay.
It appears to me, for Niners fans, this was the doomsday Super Bowl. Because the Chiefs have obviously broken their hearts,
yep,
and everybody's sick of the Chiefs, but also they have an internet war with the Eagles where they think they would have won the NFC Championship game when Brock Purdy got hurt. And
right.
So there's, yeah, there's a lot of disdain towards Eagles fans. What I also keep noticing, though, is there's more public sentiment of, I'm not watching the Super Bowl, including my wife.
Sure.
I actually might believe her. I mean, obviously I'm watching, but I actually might believe her to a certain degree. I don't know if she was just speaking out of anger. But the thing that's becoming obvious to me is we are doing the thing that the Lakers and Warriors do when they say, we don't think about the Grizzlies, but they keep talking about them.
Yes.
Because when you go and you look at every television number, every playoff game this year, relative to the games last year, was slightly down, with the exception of one team. That is the Kansas City Chiefs. No matter who they play, when they play, even comparing them to last year. So we had the Taylor Swift, because at first everyone's going to go, Swifties. Well, that was baked in last year.
Yep. That was, I would say it was even more of a story last year.
I really do. Like, I understand the people that are annoyed by it, and I don't fault them. I don't think it's nearly shoved down our throat this year.
No, not at all.
CBS, I think, showed her three times.
Right.
I watched every snap. I remember seeing her three times. Now, I had zero desire to watch that post game because I didn't, when I saw her, they trotting her down, and I was like, yeah, oh, this is going to be something.
Yeah.
But, like, I find Travis Kelce's personality way more annoying than hers.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be irresponsible for CBS not to show her.
She is the biggest pop star on the planet.
That's correct.
So, I get it.
She's far more famous than anybody on the Chiefs.
I think that's true.
I think. That's not even close.
I'm starting to wonder if Mahomes... We're now doing Super Bowl commercials that the gimmick is Mahomes isn't in it.
Dude, my grandmother could not tell you who Patrick Mahomes is. She knows exactly who Taylor Swift is.
I guess, but the problem is with her, like, the only metric we have to measure him is off-field.
Yeah.
Because whatever his salary is his salary. He's whatever the hot...
Yeah, no, that's...
But the problem with her off-stage is, like, she doesn't even need it.
No.
I mean, what, the tour, what was it, revenue was $2 billion?
Yeah.
So what was her take home? Probably half? I mean, I know hers is a very expensive show.
Yeah.
And I know she took care of, like, she gave it like $50 million in bonuses. Like,
yeah.
She obviously took care of her people.
She's doing just fine.
But, like,
I wouldn't even say it in the earnings. Just look at globally,
okay,
where you went and what numbers you did globally.
I guess this is the other thing I would think about. They are the biggest draw in sports. There is no, like, is the Grammys this week? Isn't it always the in-between?
I think so, yeah. Yes.
The Grammys won't even sniff.
No.
A Sunday. Not even a playoff. Forget playoffs.
No.
I do wonder if we undervalue the biggest star in football. Because Mahomes is going to be a billionaire too, probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's... We probably do, but it's only
she
because
has
it's
a wider
annoying.
Audience.
Yeah.
But, like, I always think, like, it was, I was laughing so hard at this. Monday, when there was nothing on.
Yeah.
I had, Tiger was on.
Sure.
So, I did figure out what the business model is for TGL.
Yes.
You still get to watch Tiger.
You put Tiger, that's 100% true.
That's it. That's it. That's the model. Like, yeah. That's it.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes doesn't move the needle like Tiger Woods does.
Well, no, but the best part was Mike Trout apparently is like, so I guess Tiger and Mike Trout built a golf course together.
Oh, okay.
And so Mike Trout's there. My wife goes, who's that?
Right.
And I was like, it's Mike Trout. The best part is I said, it's Mike Trout. She goes, I guess it is true that literally nobody knows who. She knows what Mike Trout is, but she doesn't know who Mike Trout is.
I could say Mike Trout and my wife would be like,
correct.
Who?
I mean, Aaliyah does watch a decent amount of baseball.
I could probably, if I started explaining to her, and like, once I got there, she'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
And Mike Trout is always, on one of the shows that she regularly listens to, Mike Trout always gets referenced because is he the best person to actually be? Because he is
fabulously rich
and awesome at his job,
and he's athletic.
Yep.
And he largely can go unnoticed.
Yes. I mean, take him outside of Anaheim, and maybe even in Anaheim.
Well, there's nobody in there.
There's nobody there. But I mean,
underrated ballpark.
You could take him anywhere.
So like, he is the question of like, is he actually like the guy that everyone should want to trade places with?
I've never seen him in person, but he's probably huge.
He's like 6'2". He looks like a. I always hate when people say linebacker because I don't think people realize linebackers are like 270,
right?
265, and by the way, still run. Can't believe that this sport has injuries.
Can't believe it.
He looks like an NFL safety.
Yeah, so probably by his sheer size, if I saw him in a grocery store, I would double take.
Right,
and then once I double took, I would be like, I think I know that guy, and then I'd figure it out.
I think it's like the classic. You would know that he's somebody.
He's somebody,
or he is something.
Yes,
but you don't know.
But it would take me a minute.
Correct. So, I think the problem is with her, she's fabulously famous, but it's also like, I don't know what the comp is because her fans always want to like shove her down her throat that she's the most famous person alive. It's like, I don't think that's true, but where I will meet you halfway is it's a discussion.
I don't not think it's true.
Correct. Like, I don't know if all of India and China know who she is, but like, I know Japan does.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan are her comps.
Because we were also trying to be like, is she more famous than the Pope? Because
yes,
with all due respect to the Catholic listeners out there, I don't feel like the Pope is anywhere as visible as he was 20 years ago.
No, and I don't know that everybody knows who the Pope is. I don't
number
think
one, it's Francis.
Not only do I not know who the Pope, like the actual name of the Pope is. I mean, I know the title. I bet my 10-year-old son doesn't even know what that
what
is.
What the Pope is.
What is the Pope?
I got it right.
So, Friday, and I can tell you from 7 years old to 95.
Well, like, remember, like,
Taylor Swift, Tiger Woods, and Michael Jordan, people know who that,
well, like,
who that
I person, those people I are. Remember, I guess, was it after John Paul II died? Like, we had like wall-to-wall coverage of the conclave.
Right.
I remember like going to the computer lab. Did he see smoke? I remember that. It's like, I don't feel like that is the cultural phenomenon.
No,
like,
no.
Then we were trying to think, because I had this discussion with my college buddies, like, here's the truth. Like, I don't know. You would be a better person, a better judge of this. Is there some YouTuber that might actually be more famous?
Can't be. Because it doesn't... There could be more famous
to... Let me phrase it. Online personality.
To their fam... Like, Mr. Beast, what could be to the world of YouTube, is probably the most famous YouTuber, which is a massive deal. But, like, if you don't watch YouTube, you...
Well, then, like...
Mr. Beast could be Mr. Jones. It doesn't... Like, that doesn't mean anything.
I mean...
It doesn't mean anything to you.
I know... I'm in the same way. I know what Mr. Beast is, but I have no idea what he looks like.
Most people don't know, like, as big as he is on YouTube and as big of a thing as YouTube is, it didn't even come close
to... Okay, we were also
famous athlete or a famous pop star.
What if, because numbers,
yeah,
is there like a Bollywood star?
I mean,
like,
yes,
there's
but
that
you're
part
still
of the world we don't even think about.
You're
like,
still restricted to that world, and I think that in China, athletes are... Our American athletes are crazy famous in China, especially basketball players. So your Michael Jordan and LeBron are famous in... Isn't China the second largest country in the world?
It's still the largest. India's gonna pass.
I thought India was,
or maybe
okay.
Maybe it has passed. All right,
so
it in, the, last
in
two
the
years.
Largest country in the world, LeBron and Michael Jordan are crazy famous. Maybe they're not that famous in India, but then the rest of the world they are.
Well, like, the other thing that was it's interesting to me is, not a single name that we've mentioned, movie star.
No, oh no, not anymore.
Like, it is fascinating that it's either a pop star or it's an athlete.
Yep. I mean, you say that, but
I
like,
mean, I guess I don't. Should Elon be in this discussion?
You always hear maybe. I don't know. You always hear about these like, you know, they always do these press junkets for their movies, and it's all this stuff overseas that we never think about because we're not paying attention.
No, that's
to
where Anthony Mackie got in trouble,
right?
Because he was like selling a movie in a country that I don't think was all that
right.
Super friendly with
right.
us.
So,
and so
It's possible that our movie stars are really famous, and it's just not something we see because they're not selling a live event, and so you don't in your face see a raw number like you do with sports or a concert. You know what I mean?
Yes. So like, that's kind of the other thing though about the Swift thing. It's obviously a massive tour,
yeah.
But what I could tell from afar is it was a lot of the same people just going multiple times. They were in football stadiums.
They're in stadiums.
But, by the way, guess who else sells out football stadiums? Football teams.
They sure don't in
the Chiefs
in Japan and Russia and Scotland and Germany.
Okay, so I guess though domestically, would Mahomes have a better argument?
I don't think so. I don't think so. There, I wonder,
the helmet?
If the Chiefs play the Titans, does that game sell out in Nashville?
Do they play this year?
I don't know. If the Chiefs play, you know, Miami is a bad ticket market. If the Chiefs play in Miami, does that game sell out? I don't think so. Or the Jags.
I think you're probably right.
And so therefore, that's kind of your answer right there. She didn't play a stadium. That it wasn't not only sold out, there was a crazy secondary ticket market.
Okay, so this also begs to me the other question. I'm stronger than Chiefs agnostic, but I am not someone that lives to see them die or lose. I do have a tremendous amount of respect for Mahomes.
He is awesome.
What is insane to me, though, is if we're all kind of in agreement, we're reliving the Patriots era.
Yep.
I feel like way more of America is anti-Chiefs now than we were anti-Patriots then, and that doesn't make sense to me for two main reasons. Number one, like, we had the whole, like, Patriots cheating.
Yep.
And, like, we've had to convince ourselves that Chiefs games are rigged. But, like, we've kind of had to do, like, a tap dance on that one. I think a lot of us just say it because it makes us feel better. Like, in the end, like, quarterbacks get calls.
I mean, it always turns out the best teams get the calls go their way, it feels like. Whether it be the Patriots then or Duke basketball or the Lakers.
Like, I always felt like it was Alabama. Like
Alabama football, yes.
People talk about the officials are in Birmingham, right? It's like, oh.
Yes. I mean, it does feel like the best teams get the breaks when it comes to calls.
I also think, like,
it's because the refs are cheating mostly.
Well, like, listen, do I think Mahomes gets a favorable whistle?
100%.
Yes. Guess who I also think gets a favorable whistle? Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Lamar.
Yep.
Not Burrow, which I don't get.
I don't either.
But, like, I think they all get favorable whistles.
Yep.
But, like, Chiefs, Patriots fans were like, they didn't want to win for the sake of winning. They wanted to win so that they could give you S.
That's true.
I guess, though, like, that's kind of where I'm coming from. It's like, I don't quite understand why everyone...
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.